Welcome to Emil Franzi's Voices of the West, dedicated to the principle that America was better off when our TV shows featured cowboys instead of lawyers.
And we hold true to those values.
Absolutely.
Welcome to another Saturday with the voices of Emil Franzi's Voices of the West. I'm Harry Alexander, Barker de France here in Los Angeles area. It is our good friend Todd Roberts. Howdy.
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 Sounds like Minnie Pearl.
Todd Minnie Pearl Roberts.
I still have the tag on the hat.
Good. We got to say, a really good show today. We're going to change gears just a shade here.
Yeah, we're going to strip gears.
We're going to do some poetry and some musical talk with Susan McRae and Lou Forestieri. I think I pronounced it correctly.
Oh, he's schooling right now.
Correct me there, Susan.
Forestieri.
Thank you, Forestieri. Okay. And so,
it's easy. Just remember force scary.
Eerie. Yeah. All right. Well, anyway, we're going to have a fun time this afternoon, talking with these folks. But before we get to that, we need to do whatever it is Bunker does.
Well, I'm coming to you from Bunker's bunkhouse and I'm bringing you the good, the bad, and the bovine. Now, the way this works is I take today as a jumping off spot.
You got a new theme song here. It's Frog Leg Romp in honor of Uncle Alvin.
How lucky. Watch that froggy dumping, jumping, jumping, jumping. Keep that froggy jumping. Frog legs. Okay. Anyhow, the way this works is I take today as a jumping off spot. I travel 3 days back into the past and then 3 days forward into the future
without getting lost
and but they're not consecutive days because I jump around a few years.
Okay.
And I'm going to start off now with October 8, 1871. The Great Chicago Fire begins in the barn of Patrick and Catherine O'Leary. By the time 2 days have passed, over 300 people have died and a good portion of the city is gone. Mm-hmm. All because her cow kicked over the ladder.
Well, so they say.
I think the cow's getting the bad. I think Patrick was probably in his cups and just, you know, mm-hmm. passed out in the barn, knocked over the candle, and trailing it. Never mind that. Okay, now, on October 9th, that's the year 1000. What a cool year. It sounds so cool.
Well,
you think
like
in American history in 1000, what's going on?
I know, it's like 2000.
No, it's like 1000. It's half of that. Anyhow, the year 1000, Leif Erikson, explorer, becomes the first known European to set foot in America. Now, I'm sure there was probably somebody else came over, you know, from Atlantis or some other place. Mm-hmm. But that doesn't count because we can't record it. Mm-hmm. Now, moving on to the 10th, and this is in 1845, it's the founding of the U.S. Naval Academy. During the tenure of George Bancroft, Secretary of the Navy, and it's the second oldest U.S. service academy, Annapolis being number one.
Mm-hmm.
Now, on October 11th, that's what would be today, but in the year 1614, New Netherland Company applies for exclusive trading rights in northeastern United States from the States General of the Netherlands. And that's basically, that was like New York Upper State and all that kind of stuff. You know, they were there first, not the Brits, not the French. Anyhow, now, moving on into the future here, October 12, 1492, New World discovered when, I can't even talk here. I can't read and I can't talk, can't see. New World discovered when land, most likely San Salvador, which is in the Caribbean, so it's not really the U.S., was sighted from the Pinta, one of three ships Christopher Columbus was pushing around. Now, on the 13th of October in 1775, is establishment... I can't even read this.
You need to write bigger.
Well, no, this was printed on paper that had a picture behind it. And the picture kind of obscures my writing here.
Okay,
1775, established U.S. Navy when... Oh, okay, here we go. Establishment of the U.S. Navy when Continental Congress authorized the construction of the three warships. And I think the Old Ironsides was one of them.
I believe so.
Yeah. Now, the 14th of October, which is in this year, Indigenous People Day, second Monday in October, celebrates the accomplishments and the diversity of the indigenous people and their contribution to America, and it also obscures Columbus Day, which for indigenous people is a bad word. And I think that finishes up. You know, I've trashed enough of it last. There we go. Let's get on to the good stuff.
We'll be back at no. All right. Welcome to the program, Susan and Lou. Happy to have you.
Thank you.
You survived.
Susan, you have written bunches of books. Well, not a bunch, but some books, and mostly kiddie books. And this one goes into poetry.
About cats?
No, kiddie.
Oh, kid.
Children's books.
DD or TT?
Children's books.
Jesus.
Oh, okay.
Children's books.
DD.
I'm going to give him my hearing aids so he can hear what's going on.
I've got hearing aids.
Anyway.
I just can't hear.
Is this your first delving into poetry?
Yes, it is. I've written poetry quite a bit through the years since I was a little girl. However, this is one that is a table book. Actually, a coffee table book, and it's beautiful. I'm very proud of it, and it's called Poetry Bouquet.
How cool.
And it's got paintings and drawings by your mom.
Yes, it does, Francesca.
How'd you talk her into that?
It was free.
Well, it was pretty easy. It was a long distance call. She's not with me anymore.
Had a bad connection.
Yeah.
And yes, exactly.
And so, Lou, how did you hook up with Susan on this endeavor?
Well, Susan and I, it goes back a little ways. Susan and I had been friends and working together for a while, a few years, because I had played at a couple of her parties, plus the fact that we did some award ceremonies for people that were a part of Little House.
Uh-huh.
And so we've just been doing projects together. And so when this came along, I was just really thrilled for her to ask me to be a part of it.
That is cool.
I can see a great future for you two playing smoky saloons, Susan doing poems and songs, and you playing the
that's
piano.
That's exactly why we did it. Okay. That's exactly why we did it.
And she has to dress like Kitty Russell.
Ooh.
Okay, we'll forget that part. Todd, get in there.
So, Susan... You know, is there yes. are there any bounds to your talent, Susan? Seriously,
none.
I mean, every time I turn around, Susan, you're creating something new. It's like it never stops.
I know.
It's coming out of a fire.
I know. I figure if I keep doing things, nothing will happen to me.
Yeah, they can't catch up to you.
That's good. I like that.
Yeah, you're on the move. As the great Monty Hale said, you know, stay low, you might be shooting high.
That's right.
They also said that shoot low, they may be crawling.
That's right.
Oh, my gosh.
You know, and then on top of it, you know, it's not just the poems, but then you create a book with your mom's paintings and you got Lou in there. This is a very unique thing. I mean... Where is this inspiration coming from?
Well, you know, I have some beautiful paintings of my mom's, and I thought it would be wonderful to be able to share them. And also, I've had a terrific childhood and growing up with a lot of wonderful things, and I thought I would just put everything down, which has a relatable feeling to it for people to read. It's not all serious poetry. It has some fun things. It has some remembrances and things that can relate to them, you know. Mm-hmm. And so I thought, since I grew up with music, and since I know Lou, and since he's such a wonderful composer, arranger, I thought maybe Lou would like to join me and do this project. And it's really very entertaining, and I think it's something that we could probably do everywhere, you know, mm-hmm. not just here in California, but mm-hmm. we're talking about all different
sure.
venues.
So let's talk about the venue where you'll be performing this October 24th through 26th.
Right, right. We're at the White Fire Theater. And
I think I know it.
It's a beautiful
venue. Do you really?
my goodness.
It's a beautiful venue.
How do you know it?
There's because I came to see you.
Ah.
I came to see you to see your a production of Love Letters.
That's correct. You did. It was very nice to see you there.
You're Thank a good you. Boy, Todd.
I try my best. You know, my mother said, you know, Todd, try. Just please. Just could you just try to be good?
Yes.
For once, just maybe once. So, Lou, where is it that you look? You just jump in the fire here, Lou, or do you say, "Let me kind of feel the heat first"?
Well, after having my toenails pulled out, I have to.
No, he's going to fit.
No,
he's going to fit.
What happened was that Susan had sent me this book a while back, and we were supposed to actually do a large fundraising event, but somehow or another that just didn't transpire. Mm-hmm. It just didn't work out. And so Susan, being the person that she is, wanted to fill the creative void with another project. So she started talking to me about it, and I think my personal view is that she and I have a wonderful sort of creative connectiveness. Like, she'll start to say something, I'll say, oh, okay, I get that, or vice versa, uh-huh. because I'm always calling her and telling her, oh, you know, I just learned how to play the C scale or something. And
on the tuba.
And on the tuba. No, actually on the kazoo, which is even worse. But anyway.
We got to have this guy back.
So anyway, that's the way it sort of started. And then once we really got into it, it sort of took a life of its own. And we started choosing songs and for the titles and the right songs with the right emotional content for the poetry. And these poems, though they are poems, are somewhat stories as well. And so the music becomes more of an underscore mm-hmm. To help people get involved emotionally with what's going on, as long as I don't hit any wrong notes.
Sets the mood.
That's pretty cool. So there's no improvisation. You've actually scored some of these readings that Susan's going to be doing.
Yes, because there's a timing involved, mm-hmm. and there's a timing involved, so, you know, it has to be somewhat regimented in order to, because, you know, the poems are written in a very specific way, mm-hmm. and so the music sort of has to match the structure in a way, you know. Mm-hmm.
Kind of like the old silent movies.
Yeah.
Kind of like that, exactly.
Yeah, that's cool. Yeah. That's cool. Awesome. And proceeds from this showing or reading October 24th through 26th, it's going to a charity, Susan?
It is. A portion of the proceeds are going to Bumblebee Foundation, which is for children with cancer and their families, pediatric cancer, and it's a wonderful place out here. They do some wonderful things for the family and for the children, and I got involved with them this last year, and they're really wonderful people, and I'm really enjoying getting to know them and working with them. So a couple of them are coming to the show as well, and they're looking forward to it.
That is cool. All right, we're going to do our first commercial break here on Emil Franzi's Voices of the West. Harry Alexander, Bunker de France, and Dowd Roberts with you. Susan McRae and Lou Forestieri is our guest, or are our guests.
Honored guests.
Yeah, honored guests. Anyway, we'll be back with much more after these important messages. Do not, I repeat, do not run away.
Arizona, the land of cattle, copper, and cowboys. It's also the true West, where a large number of Westerns were filmed. For your next vacation, come out to where Wyatt Earp made a name for himself as a highly respected sheriff. Stay where Jimmy Stewart filmed Winchester 73.
That would be the White Stallion Ranch. Situated in the mountains just northwest of Tucson, the White Stallion Ranch is an award-winning dude ranch with 43 guest rooms and the Hacienda. That's a five-bedroom, three-bathroom home, perfect for larger families, family reunions, and girlfriend getaways. Every guest room has a private patio with views of the cactus gardens, mountains, or corrals. Generous floor plans offer sunny, comfortable rooms, but you won't want to stay in your room. Outdoor activities are plentiful at the White Stallion Ranch. Horseback riding, hiking, shooting, archery, rock climbing, e-biking, and a weekly ranch rodeo are among the numerous activities that you'll enjoy on your ranch vacation. Go Western for your next getaway. The White Stallion Ranch. Book your vacation now online at whitestallionranch.com or call 520-297-0252.
This is Eb Wilkinson at Wilkinson Wealth Management. If you're within 10 to 15 years of retirement and you're putting off retirement planning, my advice to you is don't do that. Ignoring your retirement planning won't make it go away. It'll just make it worse. Give me a call and let's work on your plan together so you can retire comfortably and remain comfortably retired. Call me, Eb Wilkinson, at 777-1911. That's 777-1911.
The Tucson Trap and Ski Club is one of the best-kept economic secrets in town. This 900-member group maintains one of the finest shotgun shooting ranges in the country, featuring trap, skeet, five-stand, and sporting clays fields, and hosts national and international events that bring thousands of people and millions of dollars into our community. The Spring Satellite Grand American Tournament alone involves 1,200 participants for 10 days. Learn more about this and their other contributions to our community at TucsonTrapAndSkeet.com.
I got witnesses right here to prove that Wilton murdered Fred Wynn.
That's right, Ahern.
Oh, and by the way, Sheriff, I got Ware inside. You might as well take him along, too. I got a signed confession that he framed my father in the asylum. So you see, boys, all it takes is a little frontier justice. Good day.
This is the Voices of the West.
We are back on Emil Franzi's Voices of the West. Harry Alexander, Bunker de France, Todd Roberts with you, and Knuckles O'Toole tickling the ivories.
Oh, I thought that was Lou playing there.
No, that's Knuckles O'Toole tickling the ivories there with wild Irish eyes.
You sure it's not Lou?
I'm positive. Okay. And our guest, Susan McRae, Lou Forestieri. Forestieri, I'll get it right by the end of the show, I'm sure.
Next week.
And we're talking about Susan's latest project, which is a collection of poems, poetry in the book, and it's called Poetry Bouquet. And Susan...
Bouquet.
Yes, and Susan and Lou will be performing, and two other guys with Lou, will be performing October 24th through 26th.
A trio,
exactly. And so, Susan, can you give us any kind of a little excerpt of what...
A preview
of what you got there? And Lou, can you accompany that on...
He can hum.
On the kazoo.
How about a pair of spoons, Lou? You got any spoons?
Actually,
ladies and gentlemen, we did not arrange
now,
this. This is happening.
Hold on. Now, what I'm thinking is, I'm not going to do a serious one, okay?
Okay.
I'm not going to do something serious. I think I'll do something, you know, my family had a cleaning lady who used to do the cleaning in my house all the time.
Uh-huh.
And she was really a lovely lady, but she had this thing about a vacuum cleaner.
Uh-oh.
And she, now we didn't have any, we really didn't have many rugs in the house. And it used to drive my husband crazy when she would come to the house and constantly use the vacuum cleaner, right? So, I'm going to read to vacuum or not to vacuum, okay?
That is the question.
That's right. Are you ready?
Yeah, go.
Okay. Do you have any rugs in your home? Most people do. In the master bedroom and in two guest rooms they lay, which means to vacuum is not necessary every day. It never ceases to amaze me how our loving little cleaning lady brings out the vacuum to make its wretched sound every single day. The vacuum, when put away each day, is in the closet in the entryway. And when out it comes every morning without any warning, the rug nap is definitely wearing. Each day the vacuum starts blaring. I asked, please don't run the vacuum today, and was glad to hear the silence in play. What is that pounding I'm beginning to hear? I think it's the sound of a couch pillow, I fear. The covers are being taken off to clean them, being thrown in the washing machine. Oh, boy, I hope they don't turn out like my favorite jeans fit. They've shrunk so much they don't even fit. Well... another day has finally passed. The house is clean and quiet at last. The car just drove off down the road. Now it's quiet in my little abode. Looking forward to the sounds of sorrow when the vacuum runs and she's here again tomorrow.
That's great. And it, you know, I love it. It's reminded me of the Peanuts specials.
It reminded me of my cat. My cat calls the vacuum vacuum.
To be attacked.
To be attacked.
Well, you know how disturbing a vacuum sound
certainly
can be. I mean, especially for a musician like I am, and how Lou is. I mean, it just could drive you nuts, right?
So, Lou, was that improv, or is that the composition for that particular piece of poetry?
Well, we decided to play hi-ho, hi-ho, off to
work we go.
Yeah, you don't want to get that confused with hey-ho.
I love it.
Hi-ho, hi-ho, it's vacuuming we go. The vacuum here, right. The vacuum there, the vacuum
everywhere.
Wow.
Lou, you have quite the music cred. I mean, you know, I was reading your biography, and you've worked with some of the big names and the best names in jazz music and all kinds of music. So tell us about some of those experiences.
Well, I've been fortunate, really fortunate through my life to be able to work with some great artists, starting with my early on in my 20s working with Bobby Hackett.
Wow.
And even before that, when I was a teenager, we had in the Philadelphia area, we had a rock and roll band, and we toured with Dick Clark.
Oh, cool.
It was I've been very fortunate through my life to to sustain myself with something that I feel I was called to do.
Mm-hmm. Man,
you were a teen idol with your rock band in high school.
Impressive stuff, man. I mean, Count Basie and the orchestra and,
oh, my favorite,
and some of the other greats.
Oh, yeah.
Jack Jones and Stanley Clark.
Yeah.
And my God.
Yeah.
So let's get to the real meat of the issue here, Lou. Let's get to the real serious question.
Uh-oh.
Being that you're from Philadelphia, are you a Geno's guy or a Pat's guy for the cheesesteak?
Oh, well, Pat's is, you know, been there since before I was born, and that is really the landmark. But I haven't been back in that area for so long that perhaps one has outdone the other. So I don't know. I can't give you an honest opinion. But when I left there, Pat's was the thing.
Okay, okay. And where do you go for a cheesesteak here in Southern California?
I don't.
Okay, well, I don't. That's the end of that part of the show.
Makes his own.
Yeah, there you go, Todd. You're on your own.
Yeah, thanks so much.
No, you know, actually, my wife and I cook. And so we rarely go out to eat because
you cook better.
It's usually, yeah, exactly.
Yep.
So the next time you have cheesecake, give Todd a call.
I will.
How funny! All right,
what?
Well, every time I call Lou, I ask him what's the special for Sunday night. And, oh my gosh, the great Italian food just comes through the telephone.
Yeah.
That sounds like Todd. We start the show and he just finished eating with Nova. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And he regales with all the goodies.
And yeah, but with authentic Italian food.
Oh yeah.
This ain't no Olive Garden.
No.
There's no Olive Garden. Here.
That's with the red checkered tablecloth and the a bottle with the candle in it.
There you go, yeah.
Right.
And you have to make sure you get spaghetti sauce on your shirt.
See?
That's how I can tell if I had good spaghetti.
Yep.
If there's, because exactly. I'm a slurper. You know, I like to, like, and it, like, it whips around. Yeah. And,
that's the authentic way.
It is.
It's the only way.
Yeah. Go ahead.
Yeah. Who wants to take a spoon and twist it?
Oh, no. Spoon, that's for amateurs.
No, the spoon is meant as an aid. As an aid to the fork.
That's right.
I never touch a spoon when I'm eating spaghetti.
I don't either. I use my fingers.
Yeah, Cameron
just
Mitchell
think of
did
Lucille
too.
Lucille Ball at the Brown Derby on the Lucy Show.
Yeah, there you go.
That's all you got to think about.
Oh, that's right.
All right, Bunker, go ahead.
Oh, okay. Well, actually, I'm going to get intellectual here for a minute. That's scary to even me.
Wow.
But let me find this thing here. What I was going to see here. If I got the right paper? No, I don't. Okay, here we go. This is a quote. Music serves as a universal language that that communicates emotion beyond words. Comment from both of you.
Do you want to go there?
No, you go.
Okay. Well, you know, I wrote a poem actually in that kind of way. It music can make us feel glad, or it can even make us a little sad.
Yep.
And it can bring back memories, good or bad. And one thing that you really have to agree is that, you know, music really fills our heart with glee. Don't you feel that way? I mean, you could be sitting in a doctor's room, you could be in the grocery store, you could be in an elevator, and yet there might be something that plays that will bring back a memory to you. Mm-hmm. And, you know, it can either be a good one or a bad one, who knows, but you know, even when you're sitting in a saloon or you're in the, you know, wherever you are, there's something that plays, and it either brings back a good memory, or it brings back something to you that you didn't remember a long time ago that comes back to you, and it brings back good things to you. And it only takes a little song of some sort to bring that to mind, you know?
Mm-hmm.
It's the international language.
Yes.
Well, it is. You know, music is beautiful. No matter what kind it is,
mm-hmm.
I mean, you can have country music, you can have jazz, you can have classical. It brings out something very special in one's, I don't know, it makes you feel good, you know?
Yeah. Especially
and
cowboy
there's only,
music.
That's only the one thing that can really do that for you. It's either music, or it's art, or it's a beautiful melody, or even a writing, a book that you read, you know, that you get involved mm-hmm. with. And the arts are very important to people.
Lou, expand on that.
Well, I think it's interesting that no matter where you go in the world, language perhaps isn't understood from one culture to another. But when you play this sound that we call music, everyone identifies and understands that it's music. And I think that's a pretty interesting thing. And all the things that Susan said is that music brings memories, brings emotions, and it's just an amazing thing. It's an amazing thing. And it's also music, you know, going back as far as Bach or Palestrina, I mean, going back centuries, what was good then is good now.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
You know, what was appreciated then, Mozart, what was appreciated then is appreciated now. So, I'm very fortunate that I've been given this gift, because to me, music is an unending science as well as a muse,
mm-hmm.
because every day I learn something new, which keeps me young and going, and it's a great thing.
That's beautiful. We got to take our next commercial break here on Emil Franzi's Voices of the West. Harry Alexander, Bunker de France, Todd Roberts with you. Susan McRae is our guest, as Lou Forestieri. And Susan's book is A Poetry Bouquet. They'll be performing the 24th through the 26th of October in California. And we'll talk more about that after these very important messages. Do stay tuned.
Can you even imagine switching back to pen and paper to run your business? Every year, we become more and more dependent upon our technology. If your network is not set up properly, you're just one click or one email away from losing data critical to your operation. Arizona Computer Guru offers a host of services to prevent and protect you from disaster. From online backup services to email filtering to fully managed network services, Arizona Computer Guru is here to keep your network secure, your data safe, and your budget in the black. To schedule your free consultation, call 304-8300.
This is Eb Wilkinson at Wilkinson Wealth Management. If you're within 10 to 15 years of retirement and you're putting off retirement planning, my advice to you is don't do that. Ignoring your retirement planning won't make it go away. It'll just make it worse. Give me a call and let's work on your plan together so you can retire comfortably and remain comfortably retired. Call me, Eb Wilkinson, at 777-1911. That's 777-1911.
The Tucson Trap and Ski Club dates from 1948 and is now at 7800 West Ole Ajo Highway. The club owns 80 acres and leases 300 more from Pima County that supports 50 trap fields, 15 skeet fields, 2 5-stand fields, 2 sporting plays courses with 12 stations each, a 9,000 square foot clubhouse, 200 full service RV hookups for members, and free Wi-Fi. This expansive facility gives enough room to host major national and international events annually, bringing thousands of people to the community. Check it out at TucsonTrapAndSki.com.
Well, I'm Hank Fergus, Marshal.
So?
You never heard of me?
Nope.
Well, I've been in California for quite a spell.
Well, this is Dodge, Fergus. And gunmen with big reputations come and go a lot here. Mostly they go.
This is the Voices of the West.
We are back on Emil Franzi's Voices of the West. Harry Alexander, Bunker de France, Todd Robertson in the Los Angeles area, and our guest Susan McCrae and Lou Forestieri. We're talking about Susan's new book called Poetry Bouquet. Susan, that's a song.
Does that sound familiar?
That's a song you recognize, isn't it?
I think I heard that once in a while.
I'll bet your dad was like tinkling with that there in the parlor.
I've heard that. That old chaparral will always be in my heart, I'll tell you.
And it's in ours as well.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, you know, just going out there, I went to an event at Old Tucson. It was kind of an old a High Chaparral reunion, but it really, I don't think it really was. But they took us around the set there and elsewhere in Old Tucson. But, you know, you go up at the High Chaparral house, and it's like, damn.
it always brings back memories.
Yeah. Always, always, always.
And you know, one thing about that place, you know, it's the only standing original Western set still standing, in other words.
Yeah.
The only one that was not taken down. And yep. I was really worried when Old Tucson was taken on by another company.
Mm-hmm.
If they would do anything to it, I was hoping that nothing would happen to it.
Yeah, that's
because it has such great memories to so many fans out there.
Yeah, thus far, nothing has been done to it, and I hope nothing will be done to it. Because, you know, maybe we ought to put it on the historic places.
Yes. Yeah. Well, you know, one of the interesting things, the company that bought it is one of the largest railroad theme park kind of things.
Yeah.
They own railroads all over the world, and it's basically, you know,
like
the Silverton and the Toltec.
Yeah,
and
it's narrow gauge.
Tourist railroads.
Yeah.
And, but, you know, we also, one of the nice thing is we also have Mescal, which was built for Monty Walsh,
mm-hmm.
and it's still standing, it's still there, and in fact, they're working on it right now, mm-hmm. improving it.
Yeah.
There's not a movie shooting, they're out, volunteers are out there painting and hammering.
Todd, jump in.
Well, I do know that the chaparral needs a lot of work, and I knew that, you know, if they would spend a little money to bring it up to date a little bit, it would be nice, but,
we want to see,
you know.
We want to see a High Chaparral revival, and Bunker has a script for it.
I actually have a couple of different ideas.
Yeah, so that's one project that we would love to see come back.
You want to collaborate,
show.
Susan?
Well, I would be very happy to. The only problem is NBC owns.
Yeah.
David Dortort, of course, didn't own part of that. That was not part of him. But NBC, to reach them, they have no idea what High Chaparral is.
Of course not.
And I mean, you know, and they don't even know a lot of people that were around at the time, and, you know, it's unfortunate.
Mm-hmm.
So,
we could,
you know, I have a script, too, that was written by Vincent Gutierrez, who actually wrote a few episodes of Chaparral.
Yeah.
And, you know, there's really nothing.
You know, we could tweak it. We could tweak it just a little bit. We could change it to a Jewish ranch and call it High Shapiro.
You could do that.
Yeah.
And the foreman would be Buffalo Berkowitz.
Anyway, we need a casting. Anyway, we need a casting director.
Yes, we do.
And we need
a producer
and a music composer.
Yes.
There you go.
Wow. I just happen to have with somebody like that.
How about that?
Harry, you just put this thing together.
You're
a whiz.
2 years from now, it'll be on the air.
Yeah.
I don't know where, but somewhere.
Speaking
on
of music composing, Lou, I once heard this, shall I say, discussion, debate, between a music composer and a music lyricist. And the composer's argument was, I have the toughest job in the world because I only have 88 keys. I only have 88 choices to work with.
Mm-hmm.
And I can't go too far to the left and I can't go too far to the right. I'm stuck here on this keyboard. And the lyricist said, oh, your life is easy. Your choices, you have your confinements. You know what you're working within. I have every word in the world, and I have too many choices, and I don't know. Sometimes do I pick this word, that word, which word? I don't know which word. If you want to comment on that, I'd love to hear your thought, being that you are a composer.
It kind of leaves you speechless.
Well, let me throw this in there real quick. A lyricist only has 26 letters to work with.
There you go.
Right. Okay. Well, you know, writing for songs, which we call lyrics, writing for poems, writing scripts, and writing music for such is an interesting thing because sometimes, as I once learned from Mr. Hackett many years ago, it's the notes you don't play that make the difference.
There you go.
So in great scripts, you know, like today in like Netflix and HBO, and you know they're putting out a lot of wonderful product. But the thing is that you can tell that the scripts by the wording, you know, the right words at the right time, the right note at the right time, really makes the difference. So I think that it's like, for instance, you remember in the movie about Mozart, the king says, well, there's just too many notes, you know, just too many notes. And Mozart says, well, it took, Amadeus. Said, well, you know, it took that many notes. How many notes do you think it should take? You know, and so how many words does it take? I'm not a great speaker. I ramble. But how many words does it take to say your idea? You know, how many notes does it take to get your point across? You know, I mean, Beethoven, you know, thought that
there was one note too many there.
Yeah, there was. That's why, you know, he fired me. But my point is that the right, you know.
What happens if you got one note too many?
He got fired.
What happens what if you got one note what?
Too many.
He got fired. He just said so.
Yeah, then you need to take it out or they say next.
They get extra money, don't you?
Next. No.
Yeah,
too funny.
You know, I got to say something here. You know, my Uncle Victor was a great songwriter. Uncle Victor I call him my uncle because we were very close, and he was very close to my father. It was Victor Young who wrote some beautiful melodies, Stella by Starlight, and, and When I Fall in Love, and all of those wonderful songs. But he did write a song for me, and he dedicated it to me when I was born. And I mention that only because it's in my show, and it's called Sweet Sue. And right.
Kurt Weill.
Thank you, Lou.
You're quite welcome.
Perfect.
And I must admit that the lyrics are interesting because they don't, they relate to me, but they don't. Like, if every star above knows the one I love, Sweet Sue. And the moon on high knows the reason why, Sweet Sue. No one else, it seems, ever shared my dreams. Without you, I don't know what I'd do. So in the heart of mine, you live all the time, Sweet Sue.
That's beautiful.
Yeah. Now, that's a beautiful song,
right?
It is,
right? Yes.
Yeah,
definitely. Susan,
and it was written for me.
That's great. Susan, share with us what one of your shows is going to be like. I mean, you come out on stage, and you grab your chair and sit down, open your book, and blah, blah, blah. And Lou and his other two fellas or people are there and providing the musical background. So give us a feel for what's going to happen.
Set this down.
Well, the light will come up, and we will all be on stage already, and the musicians will be there, and I will be there, and we will open with a song, actually.
All right.
Yeah.
The music.
You know, I was a singer. Did you know that?
Yes.
No.
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah,
You're one of our favorite thrusses.
Well, as a matter of fact, I recorded in Nashville, Tennessee, and I was with Monument Records with Booth Randolph and Ray Stevens.
Oh my God!
And I did a lot of work with them. So
tell us your singing name.
Susan Sands.
Yeah. All right. We'll start looking. Start looking that up.
You won't find it, I hope. But I'll tell you something. I'm going to open the show with a song, and then, of course, accompanied by Lou and the guys, and we're going to do I Love Being Here With You is the song.
Can we have a taste?
And we'll do that, and then I will start one of the poems, which is dedicated to my mother, Francesca. And we will, go in and out with different tunes that match up with the poetry that will bring back memories. And I think it'll be a lovely, lovely show that really not many people do. You know, a lot of people do poetry readings, and you can sit there and you move around in your seat saying, when is this going to be over?
Get another
cocktail. Kind of
get another cocktail.
Or you sit there snapping your fingers like the Beats.
Yeah, exactly. So, but this is going to be interesting. It's going to be a little different. And I think, and we're going to take a break in the middle. And I think Lou is going to perform with the guys a terrific arranger. Arrangement of what is it, Lou?
Never Neverland.
Never Neverland. It's such a beautiful piece.
All right. Nice.
And he does that with an upbeat as well, and it's absolutely great. Who are the guys who are going to be with you, Lou?
Yeah, good question.
We're going to have drums, bass, and a fellow by the name of, you think my name is hard, his name is Babad.
Okay.
Babad.
Bavad. Anyway, but Bruce Bavad is a marvelous saxophone, clarinet, flute player.
Nice.
And he played played lead alto for Bill Holman's band for many years.
Oh my goodness!
But
wow.
He's
Yeah,
he's a wonderful musician. And then the trio, piano, bass, drums, are on bass is Chris Colangelo, and on drums is Kendall Kay. And ooh, both Kendall and Chris, we were with Jack Jones together, traveling, and also we played many, many gigs together. Kendall was worked with Diane Shore for a long time.
Wow.
Chris works with Tom Scott's band, and also with several other people. But anyway, it's a good band, and not only is it a good band because they're good musicians, but they're really great guys, and I choose people that I have a good time with, because if you're not having a good time, the audience,
Right.
You know.
Yeah,
it shows.
Exactly. Oh, most excellent.
They're relying on.
All right.
Yeah.
We're going to take our final commercial break here on Emil Franzi's Voices of the West. Harry Alexander, Bunker de France, Todd Roberts with you, our guests Susan McRae and Lou Forestieri, and we're talking about Susan's project, Poetry Bouquet. That's coming up October 24th through 26th, and we'll get down and dirty with all those details after this commercial break. So stand by. Do not leave.
Arizona, the land of cattle, copper, and cowboys. It's also the true West, where a large number of Westerns were filmed. For your next vacation, come out to where Wyatt Earp made a name for himself as a highly respected sheriff. Stay where Jimmy Stewart filmed Winchester 73.
That would be the White Stallion Ranch. Situated in the mountains just northwest of Tucson, the White Stallion Ranch is an award-winning dude ranch with 43 guest rooms and the Hacienda. That's a 5-bedroom, 3-bathroom home, perfect for larger families, family reunions, and girlfriend getaways. Every guest room has a private patio with views of the cactus gardens, mountains, or corrals. Generous floor plans offer sunny, comfortable rooms, but you won't want to stay in your room. Outdoor activities are plentiful at the White Stallion Ranch. Horseback riding, hiking, shooting, archery, rock climbing, e-biking, and a weekly ranch rodeo are among the numerous activities that you'll enjoy on your ranch vacation. Go Western for your next getaway. The White Stallion Ranch. Book your vacation now online at whitestallionranch.com or call 520-297-0252.
This is Eb Wilkinson of Wilkinson Wealth Management, where we manage money for gun owners. When people turn 50, something miraculous happens. They start to get serious about retirement planning. They've done very well so far and want to be certain they power into the retirement they've earned. Let me guide you to retire comfortably and remain comfortably retired. Call me, Eb Wilkinson, at 777-1911. That's 777-1911.
Hello, I'm Mr. Red.
No doubt you've heard about rescue groups for dogs and cats, but did you know there's a rescue group for horses? That's right, it's called Horse It Around Rescue. Founders Steve Boyce and Teresa Worrell are helping out all those equine victims of neglect and cruelty by giving them a place to restore their health and wellness. And Horse It Around provides a nurturing and natural environment where horses can be horses, so they can be adopted out into forever homes. More than 120 horses, mules, and donkeys have been adopted out, but like everything else, it costs money to run the project. Horse It Around is a 501c3 nonprofit located in Southeast Arizona. Your tax-deductible donations to Horse It Around will go a long way so those horses can be horses. Check out the website, horseitaroundrescue.org. Make a difference in a horse's life. That's horseitaroundrescue.org.
Besides bringing millions a year into this community with national and international events, the Tucson Trap and Skeet Club at 7800 West Old Ajo Highway services the local shooting sports community with a 380-acre site featuring trap, skeet, five stand, and two sporting clays fields, as well as a 9,000-square-foot clubhouse, which all is available to local shooters, and soon, an archery range. Check it out at TucsonTrapAndSkeet.com or take a drive out west of town and see it for yourself. New members or single-day use, welcome.
I've been riding range all my life. I never paid to ride across anybody's land. I don't reckon I'll be starting now. Come on, Lucky, we'll take the mountain trail.
Yeah, I never had a hankering to associate with sneaking coyotes anyway.
Why, you...
Take it easy, cowboy. You'll just stick to your toll collecting. You might live to a ripe old age.
This is the Voices of the West.
You can't say I don't find some bizarre music.
That is, I love fiddle music. We should have poetry.
I know.
Cowboy poetry.
I know. Fiddling Johnny there. Good stuff. Here back on Amo Franzi's Voices of the West, Harry Alexander, Bunker de France, Todd Roberts, and in Los Angeles, our guest, Susan McCrae, Lou Forestieri. And Susan, your performance is going to be on October 24th through 26th. Run it once more time of the venue.
Sure. It's at the Whitefire Theater. And it's very simple. If you go to whitefiretheater.com and you look for the name of my show, which is called Potpourri, and you'll see it, the whole front page of the program, and you press on it, you can go right to the tickets, yeah, right on it. And it'll put everything out there. There's even there's a matinee on the 26th, which really is comfortable for people to go to. It's at 2:30 in the afternoon.
For those of us and who are old.
Yeah, that's right. You don't want to drive in the nighttime or something. And it's 24th and 25th at 8:30 in the evening, and you'll come in and enjoy a wonderful show.
Most excellent. We're almost out of time here, but before we go, Lou, I need to find out from you who you prefer as the best Western composer, Western music composer, film composer.
Be careful, Lou.
Elmer Bernstein, you know, he nailed that kind of thing down.
Mm-hmm. Aaron Copland.
Aaron Copland with his Appalachian Spring. Mm-hmm. I mean, those scores, his ballets are just magnificent.
Red Pony.
And, then in the early days when, you know, the John Wayne movies, they had a lot of Brahms, a lot of classical symphony music in the background.
Uh-huh.
But I think that Elmer, you know, it's a funny story that when they got ready to do with the Waterfront movie with Marlon Brando, they wanted Elmer, but they got the wrong Bernstein, so they hired Leonard. But anyway, we did a magnificent job on the waterfront. That score is amazing.
Moody music.
But,
that is funny.
Yeah.
And Susan.
Susan,
we already know your favorite Western television show.
Composer.
And composer and every damn thing else. But reiterate that for us, please.
Well, I loved Harry Sukman. He happened to be one of the finest composers and concert pianists in my life.
Amen.
And I have to tell you, though, I agree with all of you that there's nothing like Aaron Copland's music for Rodeo or any of those wonderful westerns that he did. And And Elber, of course, was very good. I mean, the Magnificent Seven is a wonderful score.
Sure.
But Harry Shiffman and High Chaparral and Bonanza and all of those wonderful westerns he did, especially a movie called 40 Guns, which was absolutely fabulous.
Oh, yeah. I like that one.
Barry Sullivan.
Yeah.
And Miss,
that's right.
Miss
Sam Fuller.
And Welcome to Hard Times was a great one with Henry Fonda. And so those were all great westerns. He was really in his genre, favorite genre there.
All right.
Well, I think the greatest television theme is the High Chaparral theme.
I agree.
Bar none. It's like the Big Country for movies.
You know it. As soon as you hear it, you know what's coming up.
Let me tell you something. I do have to say, Jerome Moroz and the Big Country music was fabulous. Yes. That was the best score ever.
Yeah, that's what got us kicked off YouTube.
You know, the unique thing about that, if you've seen the movie, you can put the music on and see the movie again.
In your mind.
In your head.
Exactly.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, you know exactly what it's from.
Yep.
Anyway.
Susan McRae, Lou Forastieri, thank you so much for joining us this afternoon. It's been a real pleasure. And I'm not surprised about that.
Thank you.
It was just
thank you.
It's just
thank
fun.
Thank you for having us. It was a lot of fun.
Just fun talking music and
anytime
poetry.
Susan's on, Lou, you're welcome.
Yeah, right.
Oh, thanks so much.
Just badger her.
It's been great. Thank you, guys.
All right. All right. That's it for this edition of Emil Franzi's Voices of the West. Harry Alexander, Bunker DeFrance, and Todd Roberts with you. And remember, costumes, scenery, and special effects for today's program were provided by your imagination.
78, 79, 80 O's, all you poets out there, and just keep on rhyming and timing.
Thanks for listening to Emil Franzi's Voices of the West.